Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
The city is being overrun by baboons.
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
All right, it's a live radio show.
Because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons.
The baboons are clearly in charge. Welcome. This is a live radio show on Sunday night. There's nothing else like it. Everything else is the gold show. The Groupon show. Yes, the Groupon show. It's Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. Coming up tonight, we have Kendall Toby with a report on St. Patrick's Day. Where? In Ireland? No. In Las Vegas. Plus, Mark Simone. Yes, the legendary broadcaster who I refer to almost every week is coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. Now, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dispel the myth that all NYPD members get along. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Checked into the Spearmint Rhino and didn't leave. Cops called. Vegas. Strippers on the loose. Later, Sterling at night.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We have a lot of kids, so the grocery budget is huge.
We've had to go from using Walmart, which we thought was a step below the store we'd like to use, to using two steps below the Walmart store.
The bargain bin grocery experience coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
One of the best things men do, especially bachelor party weekends, they go to an exotic dancing emporium. What happens if you're a place called the Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas? They're located off the famed Las Vegas Strip. So to see the ladies strip, well, the Spearmint Rhino will send out a free limousine. Yes, it's awesome. Bottle service packages, by the way, for you and up to five people, start at $399. You can move up to special bottle service and lady attendees for $1,000 or more. By the way, anyone can get a free ride to the Spearmint Rhino. They have 24-hour limousine service. Clinton Warrington, 33, was at the Spearmint Rhino for 5 days. 5 days. And ironically, they said, you know what? This feller hasn't been leaving and he ain't spending anymore. Maybe it's time for him to leave. Cops call. Mr. Warrington threatened to kill police. He provided false information. Two gross misdemeanor counts of intimidating a police officer. So Clinton Warrington is in jail, probably already out without paying bond. Spearmint Rhino, probably a helpful hint for security there. If a feller's there for more than 24 hours, perhaps it's time for him to go home. Can you imagine all the pent-up rage? Or perhaps he had the money and perhaps, you know, he got a special compensation from one of the lovely lasses. If you go to a 24/7 strip club, leave. Go enjoy your time with the lovely ladies. Go to that champagne room and have some cognac or have some Hennessy. Crack a couple of dad jokes. Strippers love that. Especially if you're giving them 20s. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Did you go to spring break? My mother, no way in hell would my mother let me go to spring break. But the truth is, and probably true for you too, I was terrified at the thought of spring break. First of all, I didn't drink. I didn't drink till I got way out of college. And then I stopped quickly because that was not going to work out. But every time I'd see the shots, no pun, the shots on MTV of spring break, it was terrifying. thousands of drunks, drugs, 8 people in one little crappy hotel room. I wasn't going to do that. It looked terrifying, but it seemed cool. And remember who in school went to spring break? Remember who they were? They were borderline jocks. They were B students. They were on the football team. And maybe one cheerleader, but this sounds terrible, but it's true. They were people who, like, had one parent, or they were living with their grandparents, or their parents were always out of town, and their parents weren't really there. My parents were there, right, Neil, Paul, Judy? My parents were there, and there were... There was no way. There's Catherine Archer. Hi, Catherine. There are all my Midnight Misfits. Welcome. Did we go? Beryl Kravitz, Dee Wells, John Kelly, Rosemary Furlong, the Datz family, Jennifer Hydrant. Did we go? Frankie Reds, Eddie. Did we go to spring break? Charlie Green. Did we go to spring break? No. We fantasized about it. And then when I got older and I knew people in media, I asked people at MTV, I said, how does this work? Like, and they said, well, we have to tell you, a lot of the shots of the hot girls and guys, they're not college students. Because college students, after a semester or two, are fed by pizza. And pizza doesn't turn to ripped abs or pecs or perfect breasts. There's none of that at college. We had to hire strippers. We had to go to strip clubs, hire professional dancers, models, to get some of those shots where it looks so attractive. Also on MTV, remember the Daytona Beach ones? Yeah, there were a lot of kids there, but when they pulled back, there was a lot of kids around the stage, but when they really pulled back, there weren't a lot of kids beyond the first 100. However, years later, for 1 year of my blessed life, I lived in Fort Lauderdale. And that was the first time I ever got to see spring break up close. If you have ever made the mistake of going to Times Square on New Year's Eve or Times Square at noon on any given day between, oh, say, April and December, that's what spring break is like in Fort Lauderdale. There's a main road that goes along the beach strip. And if you make the mistake in your car, when you want to get from point A to point B in Fort Lauderdale, if you make the mistake of hitting that road, of going to that road during spring break, you'll be sitting there for 3-4 hours for one block. Nothing moves. You must avoid the A1A at all costs. The best thing about spring break in Fort Lauderdale is I got to see Penrod's and the Button. I got to see from a distance. I never went in. From a distance, I could see the diving board, the legendary diving board, where the wet tea contests were held. Now, as usual, I got to see it 100 yards away. I wasn't going to go in there. I wasn't going to buy a $10 pitcher and sit at the pool, and no. But I could see, just like in my imagination, the wet tea at Penrod's in Fort Lauderdale looms large in the imagination, in the landscape of the American male. It looms like a beacon of sexuality, a beacon of id, boom, 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 an id in our brains. That there's the wet tea right now in Fort Lauderdale is a wet t-shirt contest. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you and I aren't there. Now, coming up in seconds, you and I are going to talk to Mark Simone. Mark Simone is everything that I've always wanted to be. He's a great talk show host in New York City from 10 to noon on 50,000 watt WOR. He is brilliant at what he does. He has a much better voice than I do, and he has the life that we all want. Coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTokers.
Bro, science is so fake because they say that the sun is the hottest thing in the world, but they clearly haven't seen you. What? You're hot. I mean, hotter than the sun. I think we should kiss about that.
All right. Did you go to spring break? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Your spring break experience. All the spring break experiences that I heard about or saw on TV were terrifying to me because they showed Cancun and South Padre Island. And now this year, it's completely out of control. For Miami to say, no, we don't want anybody here. We're going to shut the bars at 6 p.m. You're going to have to pay $100 a day to park your car. We don't want you anywhere near us. Well, that tells me two things. One is they know, believe me, in Miami, they know that the drugs are out of control. They're so terrified of kids taking fentanyl that and dying. They don't want that. They can't afford to have that in Miami. They have spent 40 years revitalizing South Beach, revitalizing Miami, and now it's so attractive, they're afraid people are going to come there and die. So what has happened? Now, if you've ever been to South Florida, the kids have said, all right, we're going to go to Fort Lauderdale. Now, I know for a fact that 30 years ago, the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce and Board of Governors and all the serious grown-ups that run Fort Lauderdale said, you know what? We got to get rid of spring break. We need this to be a full-time, 365-day resort community. We can't have it controlled by 2 weeks. And they did what they had to do to drive out the mom-and-pop motels. The motels all used to look like the Eugene Levy Hotel on that great sitcom. All the hotels were like that. They were mom and pop. They were 15 to 20 units, single level motels. And they were packed for 2-3 weeks a year, and that was it. But there were no high-rise resorts on the beach at Fort Lauderdale. There were no luxury Ritz-Carltons or Four Seasons or IHG or whatever those are. Marriotts, there weren't any. All right, there was one Marriott. That's right. In the 80s, there was one Marriott, but that was it. The rest of them was these little one-level, crappy hotels. They knew they had to get rid of those, but in order to get rid of them, they had to make it not attractive for spring break. And what happened? In the early 80s, mid-80s, spring break migrated to Daytona Beach, and it migrated to South Padre Island, migrated to Cancun. And they were very happy. You'd think, oh, Fort Lauderdale is going to be sad about that. No. They prayed for that. Well, guess what? Now Miami, South Beach is revitalized. There's no place hotter on earth than South Beach. 25 years ago, South Beach was half abandoned, run down, crummy, and now it's magnificent. Now those hotel rooms start at $400 a night. You and I can't afford to go to South Beach. The kids went there. And now the city of Miami is like, get out of here. Go away. $100 tickets, $100 to park your car. We don't want you. Get out of here. So they go to Fort Lauderdale, and the cycle starts again. Now Fort Lauderdale is saying, we're shutting the bars at 6 p.m. We're going to charge $100 a ticket. Why is this? Why wouldn't they want the kid business? Why wouldn't they want Where the Boys Are? Why wouldn't they want Connie Francis there? Why wouldn't they want those wonderful Frankie Avalon movies? Well, because the Frankie Avalon movies and the Connie Francis movies, what did they feature? They featured drunks, wacky kids doing dances and drunks. And now they're afraid they're going to do fentanyl. And the cops in South Florida, they know exactly what drugs are coming in there. They know exactly who's selling them, where they're coming from. They want nothing to do with it. They can't have fun and make jokes about drug addicts. But here's the thing. Most of the kids are not kids. Most of the kids are 35-year-olds looking for kids. 35-year-olds with a gold credit card looking for a college kid who wants to have somebody buy them booze. That's what they're looking at. And wait a minute. When did college freshmen become 21? They're not 21. Most of the college kids who go there would be between 18, 19, 20, and just turned 21. Seniors are 21. The rest of them are drinking illegally and driving illegally. and buying drugs illegally. And they want no part of this. It's not fun. But to me, it was terrifying. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I was way too scared to go to spring break. And my mother, no way in heck was she going to let me go. And it's too expensive. We didn't even get to the too expensive part. I was at an age when I was starting in college where I couldn't comprehend the price of an airplane ticket. I couldn't comprehend. I didn't know, how do you check into a hotel? That eluded me. Did you do spring break? 888-688-9258. And what was your horrible experience? It'd be fun to ask you if you'd let your kids go. But, I have found that whenever I try to make the topic bigger, that never works. 888-688-9258. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If I don't get enough calls tonight, I'm going to play Sukiyaki. Yeah, that song. I'm going to play that song. Why? Because when they do music research, and yes, they do music research, that is the worst testing song in the history of songs. Nothing tests worse than that. Nothing. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to Michael Harrison about scams. The scam universe is exponentially more and more and more horrible. The scam universe is just horrendous. And I don't know if it was a scam, I don't know what, but in August, I put my Chase card into a gas pump, and it was declined. And I knew there was, miraculously, I knew there was money in that account. And when I called my Chase banker on Monday, of course, it was a Saturday in a rural area. I was in hell. I couldn't buy gas. The banker says, well, according to this, Mr. Sterling, you're dead. And then I was also doing banking with PNC, and they just shut the account. They just shut my account. I said, why'd you shut my account? Well, we have the right to do business with anyone we want. It has to do with your relationship with the bank. I had been doing business with PNC, a Pittsburgh-based bank, for 9 years, and suddenly our relationship was in trouble. I didn't know we had to go to a banking marriage counselor, and I said, well, what was the problem? And I never got an answer. And then the most scary scam was I get a call from a very deep voice with a lot of production and a big reverb saying, this is the Social Security office. There are problems with your Social Security. You've committed fraud with your Social Security. And it was so powerful and terrifying that I believed it for about 30 seconds because they got everything right. The location of Social Security, the phone number of Social Security, the address, they got everything right. I'm not fooled by Nairobi princesses, but the scamming industry is huge. And there's a terrifying story about an otherwise smart guy. I'll share it with you in seconds. An otherwise smart guy who turned over his life savings to a scammer. And this was a dutiful, intelligent, sane man who turned over his life savings to a scammer. And I'll share that with you in seconds. But I believe the correct answer on how to deal with scammers, people who would steal your life savings, is the death penalty. There are situations where the death penalty is called for. Scamming anybody over 60 and abusing a child. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by almost Tom Cotter.
I'd love to see you give birth to a child.
Yeah, I'd love to see you pee your initials in the snow. We're just different, honey. And by the way, I've been up here for, 5 minutes now? Have you heard me once talk like this? Oh, you, you. Oh, you, you. Side table drawer. That's where they are.
Can you believe this is the only radio show live right now in America with your weather? Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dispel the myth that all NYPD members get along. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Fentanyl, sawed-off AR-15 half-mile-long Walmart homeless encampment. Details later. People in Walmart, Sterling at night.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We have a lot of kids, so the grocery budget is huge.
We've had to go from using Walmart, which we thought was a step below the store we'd like to use, to using two steps below the Walmart store.
The bargain bin grocery experience coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
I have told anybody who will listen, when they said, oh, it's all spring, it's going to be beautiful. I said, it's not going to be beautiful. The first week or two of March is always when we have the worst snow in the Midwest and the Northeast and now in Northern California. And sure enough, all day today, it was snowing throughout the Midwest. I had to take my beautiful daughter back to Syracuse University because she wanted to go to school where the weather is worse than where she lives. And it's just, you know, on I-90, it's the luge. And it's like the Mad Max Thunderdome Road. There used to be toll booths on I-90 going east and west. And there used to be rest stops, nice rest stops with Cinnabons. And whoever thought of that, with Cinnabons. And now all the rest stops are closed except for gas. No restrooms. No restrooms on I-90. And no food. All the little squares that show the features of the rest stop, those are covered over with big X's and lines. You can't. And where there used to be toll booths, which were actually a form of entertainment on I-90, those are gone. And what you see are sad little remnants of a toll booth. You see where the discoloration of the road is where the toll booth used to be. And now a sign that says, don't get caught. Be sure to call this number and turn yourself in and make sure you pay your toll without extra fees. Like, oh, God, it's the most depressing road. Anyway, Dorothy is back at Syracuse University where she is a star. How do I know? Because I said so. Now, listen to this. Listen to this, Michael Harrison. A father who was looking forward to retirement is now struggling to make ends meet after losing his life savings in a cruel scam. For the last 40 years, Renato Catalang has done nothing but work incredibly hard at all different types of jobs in order to make his life the best it could possibly be. The 60-year-old has always believed in the importance of saving every penny, and that is exactly what he has done for decades in anticipation of a relaxing retirement. With almost $150,000 sitting in his bank account, Renato felt safe knowing that he and his family would be financially secure. But now all his dreams have been snatched from under him in one swift move after he opened an email from someone claiming to be from a bank in his native Philippines. Renato moved to Australia from Manila, but still has a lot of extended family back home. So when he received an email stating that a relative had passed away and left him some inheritance in their will, he did not think it was totally out of the question. But sadly, opening that email was the worst mistake he ever made. He said, I was entitled to an inheritance of 3.8 million euro. And I just needed to provide my details, which I did in my reply. He even provided all the documents in relationship to who he said he was, who his cousin, the death certificate, everything. I have a cousin named by the same name. Anyway, this guy provided all of his banking information, all of his secret information, all of his numbers, and he lost $150,000 in the process. And this is not an unusual event. Michael Harrison is such a believer in stopping the scams that he's actually created a song. Now, Michael Harrison, share with us your thought on scammers.
Well, first of all, what you said earlier, I was listening, you said that there should be the death penalty for scams or for child abuse, especially if you scam anybody over 60. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't know if it should be the death penalty, but we have to create legislation that keeps up with the technology. The technology of the digital era has put us all at risk. On one level, we can't live without being on the grid. We can't live without being online. We can't live without all of these apps and all of the conveniences and life necessities that being connected to our neighbors and the world provide. But every single transaction, every time you open your email, every time you take a call, every time you send a text, you are exposing yourself to all types of danger. As a result, I think it's having a very bad effect on our psychology. The ultimate key is legislation that is tough. Remember when you were a kid, Walter, how it was considered to be, you know, like touching the third rail if you interfered with the U.S. mail. They had laws, you know, the United States Postal Service, a federal offense if you steal, tamper with, or touch the mail, because they had to protect the mail because the mail was vulnerable. We have to have the same type of laws now for digital. But scammers, we made a song, Gun Hill Road, the band that I happen to be blessed to be a part of. I still can't believe I'm in that band.
Yeah, we will play that song soon now. But this is Michael Harrison, who's the owner publisher of Talkers.com, Talkers Magazine, which is the official Bible of the talk radio industry, people vying for credit in Talkers. Michael's also a great friend of mine and has been a friend of mine way too long. It's an honor to have you on Sterling on Sunday, Michael. Have you personally experienced emails or phone calls that suckered you in for even for a second that turned out to be a scam?
I don't want to jinx myself or curse myself. I have not, because I have, since the beginning of the digital age, been surrounded by people who are experts in it. And one of the things they warned me about real early was what to be skeptical about, what to avoid, what never to do. So I have not personally been scammed, but there isn't a day that goes by, there isn't an hour that goes by where I'm not the intended victim of a scam. I mean, it comes in so many ways that you have to have like a shield, you know, with bullets flying at you all day long, or arrows to avoid the scams. It was a heartbreaking story that you told before about the fellow who lost his life savings. We hear a lot of stories about that, and it's just heartbreaking, and it's a problem that I consider to be as severe as terrorism, war.
It is terrorism.
All the things we talk about, inflation.
It's adult bullying. People think that once they get out of college or high school that they're no longer bullied. No, customer service at Walmart is bullying. A person calling you up and saying you need to you're in trouble with the Social Security Administration, you're in trouble with, well, that's bullying. And it's fearsome. I've had two types of scams that have scared me. I didn't do anything, but have scared me. But before I tell what those are, this poor Renato guy who turned over $150,000 via Commonwealth Bank, a spokesperson for CBA, Commonwealth Bank, confirmed that they are aware of these type of scams and urged customers to be extra careful when sending money to people they don't know. CBA acknowledges the financial and emotional burden scams have on customers and community. We are aware of the instances where scammer blah, 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 but they don't do anything. They're not going to do anything. CBA encourages people to be vigilant. So they've encouraged us to wear a seatbelt. That's all they've done, is encourage us to wear a seatbelt, but they're not about to install any airbags. That's a typical bank response. I had two scams that scared me. One was a very well-produced, with reverb, big voice saying, "You are in trouble with Social Security. If you don't call this number now, you will not get another Social Security payment because of suspicious activity with your account." And it scared me for a good 30 seconds. The other one is a Bitcoin scam. And any time I look at naked people on the internet, I guarantee you I will get one of these emails saying, "Well, you certainly have very unusual tastes. We're aware of everything that you've looked at in the past week, and we photographed you looking impossible. We photographed you looking, and we know what you've looked at, and we'll reveal it to everybody on your contact list unless you go to Bitcoin now and send us $2,800. Those are the two scams that I am well aware of, Mike.
Right, but you didn't succumb to them.
You no.
Yeah, that's the blackmail scam. We have photos sent crypto. The reason they want it in crypto is because there's no, it's anonymous. There's no record. And anybody who has ever, and of course nobody listening to this broadcast has ever gone on a porn site, but anybody who has ever been on a porn site will probably get that email from somebody. You don't know who I am, but I know who you are. We've been watching you, and we have video of you engaging in an act with an underage person. I mean, they really know how to lay it on. And if you do not send us the crypto, everybody's gonna. So imagine some poor schlub who actually had just been online with some girl or whatever. You know, he'll have a heart attack. He'll believe it, or might believe it, or 1 out of 10 believes it. It's a numbers game. 1 out of 100 believes it, and they must be making a fortune because this goes on and on and on. That's the blackmail scam. This identity theft is a big problem. This is a romance scam. Lonely people think they're talking to somebody who's a potential romance, and they're sending them money. There's the lottery scams. You've won a ton of money. We just have to have a small fee from you so we can get the process going. Social security numbers are always up for grabs. Warranties. Your warranty is running out. Don't let that happen. Call now. And, of course, your bank might always be calling you or sending you an email to do something to update your information, et cetera, et cetera. It's so widespread, there's no way one could get through a day without being targeted as a victim.
Now, Michael Harrison, who is our friend on Sterling on Sunday, Michael Harrison has made another song with the great rock group Gun Hill Road. How did you get together with Gun Hill Road? Tell us about the song, and then we're going to play the song.
I've been involved with Gun Hill Road all the way back to the early 70s when I used to play them as a DJ on a New York station, WNEW-FM. They were a big band out of New York. They had two very, very well-respected albums that Album Rock Radio played, and they also had a hit single called Back When My Hair Was Short. I've known them over the years. 15 years ago, they had a reunion. They got back together, made another album, and this time I joined them as a member.
Well,
I'm a singer and a songwriter.
I have, yes, and congratulations on that. We're going to listen to it. Scams by Gun Hill Road and Michael Harrison in seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
Are you nuts? I mean, I read it and I said, what is wrong with this woman?
The song is Scams, Michael Harrison and Gun Hill Road.
Just shut up, leave me alone, and get lost. When you call me up at dinner, I start thinking like a sinner, been double-crossed. Who's that on the other end? You say you're my trusted friend? Are you kidding? If I'm a sucker for your fishing, I won't have a pot to... That's your mission. It feeds my rage like I'm on roids. Don't wanna come off paranoid, but it's getting dangerous and continues to derange us by and by. Both their hands are in your pocket. Those headlines that seem to rocket just turn out to be clickbait. You think you got it straight, but man, it's just AI. Damn scammers, they'll try to pull a fast one. Damn scammers, don't believe me, you can ask one. Damn scammers, they cheat, they steal, they lie. It's enough to make you cry.
I wish they all would die.
Drone in their direction and and deflate their big erection. F them up. Yeah, I'll find out where they live. There's nothing to forgive. I'll blow them up. Their treachery's well rooted. All our email is polluted. It's a crime. I can't tell the spam from news. Walk a cow field with no shoes. It's all slime. You pretend to be my bank, then proceed to yank my crank. Every day it's getting worse. This technology's a curse. Just say goodbye. Little Johnny's overseas. Grandma, I need cash now, please. Hurry up. No time to wait. You think you got it straight. Again, it's just AI. Damn scammers. They'll pull a fast one. Damn scammers. Don't believe me. You can ask one. Damn scammers. They cheat. They steal. They lie. It's enough to make you cry.
They all should die, die, die.
Damn scammers. So you're a Nigerian prince? Damn scammers. I'm not convinced. Damn scammers. They cheat, they steal, they lie. It's enough to make you cry. La 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 la. Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, the song we just heard, you can see by Gun Hill Road at scammervideo.com. Scammervideo.com. What did he say? Scammervideo.com. Coming up in just seconds, the legendary Mark Simone. I can't believe he's going to be on the show. I am so flattered he's going to be on the show, but I'm very nervous because his voice is much better than mine. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dispel the myth that all NYPD members get along. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We have a lot of kids, so the grocery budget is huge.
We've had to go from using Walmart, which we thought was a step below the store we'd like to use, to using two steps below the Walmart store.
The bargain bin grocery experience coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Fentanyl, sawed-off AR-15, half-mile-long Walmart homeless encampment. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
I am so excited that Mark Simone has agreed to be on Sterling on Sunday. Mark Simone is somebody I've talked about almost every week for too long. He does 10 to noon. He's the show star from 10 to noon on WOR Radio in New York City. And he's been on the air continuously in New York City for decades. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. That happens if you are incredibly talented, remarkably professional, and generally pleasant. But I've talked about Mark because he told me something a couple of years ago that I went, you're kidding me. He said that he listens to this show. Now, remember, I told you he's on at 10 in the morning. He's a big New York City radio star. He says he listens to the show. And he's one of those guys who's really nice, who would tell you nice things. But then he started citing evidence proving that he listens to the show. Mark Simone, an honor to be with you tonight on Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Mark.
Hello? No, that's not really my voice. I sound like this. I do listen every week. I could tell you you're dead, according to the bank. I've heard you talk about AutoZone. I've heard you talk about everything. I'm a regular listener. I still don't get lesbians in space, but that's okay.
Well, let me explain lesbians in space, because every single moment there are new listeners. There are new Midnight Misfits. So, summary, it's a research-driven feature, because it turns out at this hour there are only three things that Midnight Misfits want to hear about. They want to hear about sex, lesbianism. They want to hear about UFOs, and they want to hear about sports. This is lesbians in space who wear sports bras. We've taken all of the components that are proven to be research positive and put them into one powerful feature. Now, Mark, the top of line news that is eating up too many people's weekend is the disappearance of Princess Kate in England. She has disappeared. Nobody's seen her. There are theories, everything from the fact that she has separated from Prince William to that she has passed away, that she's had a colostomy. Do you have any theories about Princess Kate?
Well, she could be in a place where nobody will ever see her. That's the Megyn Kelly podcast. But the good thing about being a royal, if you want to disappear, it's not like you have to call in sick at work or anything. I mean, it's the biggest welfare family in the world. Nobody knows what the heck they do for a living except wave at a parade. You know, that's about it. Cut a ribbon, wave at a parade. You know, they always say, is Charles qualified to be king? How do you have to be qualified? As long as your arm works and you can wave at the parade, you're qualified.
Now, you are frequently on Fox Business. You're a frequent guest on Fox Business. And in the past 2 weeks, three or four billionaires, Bezos, Zuckerberg, have sold hundreds of millions of shares of their stock. Hundreds of millions of shares and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of stock. What is your theory about why they're selling this stock?
Well, was it the Daily Mail that first tried to make it sound like we're in trouble, everybody's selling this stock? If you check the record of these guys, they do it just about every year. And you have to do that. And that's what they do for income. Every year they sell $1 billion worth of stock. It sounds like a lot to you or me, but it's $1.50 to them. It's really not a lot. And whenever the market is peaking, not that you think a recession is coming, but whenever you hit a new high, you sell off a little. It's nothing to worry about.
All right. That's Mark Simone's assessment of the economy. I'm grateful for that. The thing I find fascinating about Mark is he goes against the grain of most people who are on the radio. It has been my experience that most people on the radio are introverts. It seems like an extrovert job, but in fact, most people on the radio are working very much alone. Don't come in the studio when I'm on. Don't bother me when I'm on. And they give this illusion of being an extrovert because they're talking to hundreds of thousands or millions of people. But in fact, most of the time when you listen to someone on the radio, they're there alone, even like on all news stations. They're there alone. But every day on Facebook and other social media, I see Mark Simone out on the town. Half the time, Mark, you're in a tuxedo. I wish I wore tuxedos as often as you do, but not quite. And you're always with very big deals. Therefore, you must be an extrovert. How do you do that?
Well, you can do it. First of all, I've seen you at many big events. I've seen you in a tuxedo. I've seen you at our finest restaurants. I've seen you speaking in front of an audience. So you're not exactly an introvert. But, you know, I was a very shy kid. And you can make that transition. It's easy enough to do. It's basically just practice. You see that guy that spins 10 plates on top of 10 poles?
Yeah.
How do you do that? You just practice for a million hours, and you get it. Practice being an extrovert. You'll stink for a while, and then you'll become really good at it.
Do you find it exhausting to go to those lunches, to those dinners? Do you find it exhausting or exhilarating?
No, it's not. It's never exhausting. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to do a lot of shows, too many speeches. It gets tiring, but anytime I get bored, like if I'm on the radio, if I ever get bored, I go down the hall to where the sales office is and look at all these people sitting at desks and cubicles. I feel grateful again not to have to do that for a living. So what we do is nothing but fun. Going out is fun. You just never take it for granted. It's something you always wanted to do, and you got to appreciate it. That's the key to being happy. Just appreciate everything you have.
Now, I'm curious about this because I'm doing this, and I always ask other people who host talk shows this question. How do you prepare for your show? You make a 2-hour miracle every day. You have more material on your show in a week than any network sitcom has in a season. And they have 8 writers and craft services. How do you prepare for your show, Mark?
Well, that's a tough question because I've never actually prepared for a show, but I guess I prepare all day and night. It's not about just reading newspaper. You got to know stuff that's in tomorrow's paper, not what was in today's paper. So it's talking to everybody who would know everything, getting the inside story on everything. Luckily, I have a photographic memory. I can remember everything everybody told me. The only preparation is right before the show, I just draw out a little roadmap. It's like just keywords like Trump, economy, border, congestion pricing, just a bunch of keywords. And then I just kind of know start with this one, go to that one, back to this one, change subjects every 90 seconds. If it's something really important, just go back to it 5 or 6 times. It's kind of like a music station. It's a playlist, and you know, play your top 3 more than the...
Have you had bad experiences with guests? Have you had a guest where you said, you know, I'm never going to have them on again?
Well, luckily, not in years, because I've been doing this for like 30 years with guests, 35 years, and you get horrible guests and horrible... But after a while, you begin to know where the problems are. Nowadays, we would never have a politician on. No politicians, because they'll just bore the heck out of you. No actors and actresses want to talk about a film. Nobody cares. Not that interesting. Nobody in the studio. That's another big thing. Only on the phone. You know, when people hear the guest is in the studio, they know that guy's going to be there a half hour. When it's on the phone, they know 6-7 minutes and we'll be done with this. And the other problem, when you have a guest in person, they always come with 12 people. One wants to use the bathroom. One needs coffee. One wants water. One wants the internet password. It takes forever to deal with this. Unless it's a really big star. The biggest star will always come by himself. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, always walk in by themselves, no entourage. But the worst guest, you know, one time I had a hitman on. This is a million years ago. He wrote a book on his life as a hitman. He killed like 37 people, and he was trembling before he went on. I never saw a guy with such stage fright. And I said, "This, you're afraid of this?" He said, "This is terrifying." I said, "You shot 100 people, you kill people with your bare hands, that this is what you're afraid of?" He's, "Absolutely. I don't know how you do this."
Freddie DeCordova was Johnny Carson's producer.
Yeah.
And Freddie sat right next to the camera through the whole show. He sat 5 feet away from Johnny. He had one job. It goes to what you just said. He had one job. His job was to tell Carson when to end the interview. Because Carson said, "I can't tell that. If I'm doing my job, I'm so involved in that conversation, I cannot judge the passage of time." And that's why when Freddie would say, "It's time to end it," Carson was always startled and would throw a pencil at him because he was startled by it. But it's interesting. On The Tonight Show, the biggest guest in the world is on for 8 minutes. Time it. They're on for 8 minutes, no matter who they are. The other guests are on for 4. And that's been true of every iteration of The Tonight Show. 8 minutes for the biggest guests in the world on The Tonight Show. What you're saying is absolutely true. I am very grateful for our friendship, more than you know. And I thank you for spending time tonight. Is there anything about this show that particularly brings you back so that I can do it more?
Well, obviously, it's you, and it's real stuff. It's real, Sunday night, you don't need to hear about Joe Biden. You don't need to hear about Donald Trump. I like hearing about the Waffle House. I like hearing about AutoZone. I'm from the Midwest. I like hearing Midwestern stuff, Middle America kind of stuff. Sunday night, nights are always a special time. For years in talk radio, it was the biggest prime time of talk radio.
It used to be the best.
Yeah, for years, the best talk show hosts were on late at night. Larry Glick and all these great hosts, Long John Neville and others. It's a magic time. Talk radio is best in the dark.
Where in the Midwest did you grow up?
Michigan.
Got it.
And at night, you could pick up WLS in Chicago, and you could pick up New York, and you could listen to all these guys just with these incredible voices, never believing one day I'd be working alongside them.
Do you ever listen to Gene Shepherd?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I hear so many guys in New York who just grew up worshiping Gene Shepherd, Jonathan Schwartz, others who've just taken everything he did and just used it. He was an absolute magician.
Well, he wrote and narrated the movie A Christmas Story. And once, when I was 20 and I worked at WOR-FM, and all you need to know is WOR-FM was on the second floor and WOR-AM was on the 24th floor. A friend of mine and I dared each other to go up and watch Gene Shepherd. We dared each other. We went up sweating bullets, went up to the 24th floor, and I saw his show prep, Mark. His show prep was a 3-inch by 1-inch piece of paper. And he had two or three words written on one side of it and two or three words written on the other side of it. And that was it. As you know, no guests, no phone calls. He told two parallel stories that you never thought he was going to pull together. But he did it off of one little piece of paper. And when he was done, he threw it in the waste paper basket on his way out. That was his show prep.
Yeah, 11:15 to midnight, I think he was on. If you listen to some old recordings, they're all up online.
Yes.
It sounds pretty impressive, but what you don't realize, in 1957 or whenever he was doing this, it had never been done before. It was revolutionary at the time. It was just pioneering, amazing radio.
I asked three general managers of WOR. Once I knew what I knew, once you know what you know, I knew about ratings and advertisers, and I knew he had one advertiser, and his ratings were the same as the rest of the station. And his message was subversive. It was a subversive message. And I asked three different general managers, why did they keep him on? And I heard an answer, Mark, that I would never hear from a general manager today. All three of them said, oh, we knew it was great radio. And that was enough. That was enough. Mark Simone, tell us how we can hear you if we don't live in New York.
Well, you can go on the iHeart app. It's a great app to have on your phone. You can go to WOR.com, listen live. You can just go to my website, and there's a button there to do everything. Hear the podcast, hear the show. Just go to MarkSimone.com.
MarkSimone.com, S-I-M-O-N-E. Mark Simone, you're a great friend of the show, great friend of mine. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the movie Voice Guy.
They called her Aurora.
Sweet Aurora.
Yes, they named her after the dawn, for she filled their lives with sunshine.
It's the stupidest show in the world, isn't it? Thanks, Mark Simone. A great broadcaster, a great friend, and I couldn't believe he listens to the show. It's hard to explain why. It's hard to believe, but I'm shocked you listen to the show. And look at you, driving the 18-wheeler, an honor to be with you in the cab of the truck. Going across I-80, 95, overpaying for tolls, the Pennsylvania Turnpike. This is Sterling on Sunday. What a pleasure to be with you. What an honor to be with you. And that's why I need to go on vacation with you. I have wanted to meet you for a long time. Charlie Green, the Datz family, Keith Mortensen. I want to meet you and I want to spend time with you. And the best way to do that is where? At the French Riviera. You and I can go to the French Riviera in a spectacular 9-day trip put together by the prestigious, experienced Colette Travel. All you have to do is get the information, but you've got to get the information now. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. There you can find out all the information about this show. You can hear every show I've ever recorded in my life. It's all there. On the homepage is a picture of the French Riviera. Click on that, and you will get information about this spectacular trip. Or, if you want me to personally send you the brochure that was made for this trip to the French Riviera with Sterling on Sunday, I will do it. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Give me your real mailing address, and I will write the envelope myself. I will go to the post office and put the stamp on it. I don't have a staff of 80. I have a staff of me, and I can't wait to meet you. Get the information. This is a reasonably priced premium vacation. This is a handcrafted vacation for Midnight Misfits. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I have a dirty book coming up for you.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
St. Patrick's Day. I hope that hangover is a doozy. Dr. Dave Weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dispel the myth that all NYPD members get along. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We have a lot of kids, so the grocery budget is huge.
We've had to go from using Walmart, which we thought was a step below the store we'd like to use, to using two steps below the Walmart store.
The bargain bin grocery experience coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Fentanyl, sawed-off AR-15, half-mile-long Walmart homeless encampment. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
When you think of St. Patrick's Day, you think of the Fifth Avenue Parade in Manhattan. You think of the downtown parade in Cleveland. You think of parades in Dublin. Now, let me tell you, as somebody who's lived in Manhattan most of my life, I can tell you there's no greater hell than when the parade hits Fifth Avenue, any parade. It can be the Puerto Rican Day Parade, the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Any parade on Fifth Avenue is hell. Yeah, they paint the cute green line down the middle of it, just like they dump green dye in the river in Chicago. I understand all that. But if you make the mistake of not planning your day carefully in Manhattan on St. Patrick's Day, and you want to cross Fifth Avenue, forget it. You're not crossing Fifth Avenue. You're going to stand there for hours until the cops stop the parade for a second and let people cross Fifth Avenue. It's no fun. Plus, if you're not drunk, I see no upside to St. Patrick's Day. Therefore, let's have a different point of view from Kendall Toby. Kendall's in Las Vegas, which strikes me as parade day every day is in Las Vegas. What the heck is St. Patrick's Day like in Las Vegas, Kendall?
Hey, Walter. Hey. Well, hey. It doesn't sound quite as nightmarish as your experience, but things have been pretty busy. Parking is definitely very difficult, and roads are shut down for different parades. I went to a parade yesterday, and I Ubered, so it was pretty easy to just get dropped off right there. But yeah, there's so much green everywhere and lots of drunk people, as you would imagine. I checked out a parade yesterday in Henderson. So usually I go to the Strip, but I wanted to change things up a little bit. And I checked out the 56th annual St. Patrick's Day event in Henderson. It was a lot of fun. Thankfully, it wasn't raining because the weather has been pretty wet here the last few days, but it did dry up for the parade. So that was really, really nice.
Did you eat anything special, Kendall Toby, in Las Vegas, or did you wear anything unique?
Well, I did wear lots of green, and I did wear some green hair and a green hat, and my little doggie, she has a little green outfit, so she got lots of attention with her green fashion style. In the parade, there was a lot of corgis. And so it was like a part of the parade where it was all these corgis running down the street. And my dog really liked that. But it's funny, Walter, because whenever we go out, my dog, she steals the show from everyone, from even people in the actual parade.
Well, what, Kendall, what kind of dog is this?
She is a Chinese crested hairless dog. So what's really fun about her, her name is Lilu. What's really fun when we go out for St. Patrick's Day and all the other festivals out here is that she gets so much attention. And every time somebody meets Lilu, people tell us that it's the first time that they've ever seen a Chinese crested dog in person. Usually people just see them in the movies.
Well, a hairless dog, is that scary looking?
Yeah, some people do think that they are scary looking, and you guys might know they're the breed that always wins the ugliest dog competition. So usually they have their tongue sticking out, and they just look like they do. They look scary. Some people think they look scary, but my little Lilu, she does not look scary. She's very, very cute. And we do, we walk down the street and everybody, they pretty much stop us to take photos with her. It's a lot of fun.
Now, Kendall Toby, you're engaged?
Yes.
And is that why you moved from California to Las Vegas?
Well, I did my, you know, I got a house out here and my fiance moved out here and I had stayed in Sacramento for quite a while for an additional 2 years, so that I could keep working on the radio show that I was working on at the time. So I stayed in California to keep working in radio and my fiance came out to Nevada.
Does he have a job?
Yes. Yeah, he does. He works at a casino.
Does he have a Social Security number?
Yes.
On your first date with him, did he tell you anything that turned out to be a lie?
No.
Because I think a lot of people lie on their first date. And it's a question of when the third or fourth day comes around and you find out that that was a lie, it's a question of how much you like the second and third date, whether or not you'll tolerate the first date lie. But I think everybody lies a little on the first date. Is that a fair assessment? Did you lie on the first date with him?
No. In fact, well, we had been friends for about 20 years before we started dating. Yeah. And actually, I had a few properties. And at one point, he was a tenant of mine with another girl.
Oh.
And so I knew him years ago when I was friends with him and his girlfriend and they didn't work out. And my boyfriend and I at the time didn't work out. And years later, we both ended up being single and we went on a date. And I didn't lie on that date. And I don't think he lied on that date. But we had been friends for so long before our first date.
Well, I think most people have had the experience of being lied to on a first date, and I'd love to hear about that. My number is 888-688-9258. You still carry that around. You're still resentful of that person. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Kendall Toby, thank you for the report on Las Vegas on St. Patrick's Day. There's no other radio show in America outside of Las Vegas that would think outside of the box and go, well, wait a minute, St. Patrick's Day, what's that like in Las Vegas? Thank you, Kendall Toby. Thanks for being
Thank
on Sterling
Walter.
On Sunday. Thanks a million. You're great. Thanks very much. All right, it's 45 past the hour. Coming up in 30 minutes, Thea Landon, our smutty book author, will share with us a passage from her latest smutty book. Stand by for that. I know you want that. And I'm going to have more information for you about our trip to the Riviera. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Sniper Wolf.
Hello, friends. It's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
In this segment, let's listen to the Gaffneys in just a few seconds. But let's listen to the Gaffneys in a few seconds. You and I do a lot of stuff for a lot of other people. We worry about holidays, making sure the birthdays take care of. We send out the cards to the nieces and the nephews. We're the good relatives. And I'm going to say something that's not very spiritual, but true. Who takes care of us? Who takes care of us? We have to take care of us. We have a bucket list in our head. Things we want to do, places we want to go, stuff we want to buy, treats that we deserve. And then you go, oh, I should get that treat, but I've got to take care of my niece. I know what you do. It's time to scratch one off the bucket list, a big one. Let's go to the south of France. Let's go to the French Riviera. You're thinking it's expensive, it's a big deal. It's reasonable, and it's a big deal because it's a great adventure. No better way to go to the south of France than with somebody who knows what they're doing, and that's Colette Travel and me. I got engaged in the waters of the Mediterranean off the coast of Monaco, in the shadow of the casino at Monte Carlo, the James Bond casino. Don't you want to see that? We go for 9 days to Nice. We stay in one place in Nice. We don't travel to 20 different hotels. We go to one hotel. We stay there for 9 days. We have a magnificent French meal every day. You want to stay in your hotel, hang out on the beach, you do that. Or we go to French wineries, perfumeries, incredible floral acres and acres of French flowers, art museums, incredible shops, and the beaches of Monaco, Nice, Saint-Tropez, Cannes. We see the French Riviera the way movie stars see it. But it's with you and me, other Midnight Misfits, a bunch of introverts going to the French Riviera. We'll have a good time. And my wife, Katie, is a hoot, and she's looking forward to this. This is a trip we want to do. And you got plenty of time to prepare. It's in October, but not plenty of time to sign up. That's coming up. That's coming up in the next few days. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and get the information. Ask for the brochure. It's a custom brochure made for this trip, not some big catalog with 20 other trips. No, it's just for us. When Colette got in touch with me, I'm looking for the brochure. When Colette got in touch with me, they said, "Well, we keep hearing you talk about the French Riviera. We can put together a spectacular trip that's just right for you and your listener." I'm like, let's do it. Let's do it. Get the information. Why not? Why not? And then sign up. WalterSterlingShow.com.
Maybe it's over here. Where did you put it? Where did you put it?
WalterSterlingShow.com. And I will send you the brochure. Colette will send you the brochure. Or if you send me an email, I will send it to you personally. Send me an email to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And I will send you the brochure myself. You have to give me your real mailing address and get the information. Make an informed decision. Now, we were talking to Kendall Toby. Her mother was so excited about this. She has a group of people who travel a lot. I think there's a good chance that Kendall and her mom are going to join us because she was pretty excited about the possibility of going to the French Riviera. Let me go over this again. We're going to go see the casino at Monte Carlo. We were going to go to see art museums, fashion stores, have incredible French food, winery, an incredible floral display, art museums, and the beaches of the French Riviera. What else do you need? Right? I mean, this is the vacation you've imagined. It's for 9 days. It's just the right amount of time. 9 days, but one location, one hotel, and then we travel around from that hotel. It'll be simple and easy because I'm simple and easy. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. Right on the homepage, there's a picture of the French Riviera off the coast of Nice. Click on it, sign up, get the information, or send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, with your real mail address, and I will send it to you. Good evening. I have been through just a crappy 2 weeks, really lousy 2 weeks, because I've had to deal with my Samantha's school. My 12-year-old has a condition known as childhood apraxia. Childhood apraxia is severe speech delay. She cannot write. She can read like at kindergarten level. She speaks very well. She's in fifth grade. She speaks at fourth grade level. But the way she processes sounds is different than the way you and I process sounds. She can't be discrete. Everything comes into her brain at the same level. Therefore, a fifth grade music class is hell. Imagine a fifth grade music class where the kids are playing flutes and drums and clarinets. It hurts her. It physically hurts her. And it was keeping her from going to school. She wouldn't go to school. And it took a while to find out what the issue was, and it was music class. We said to the school, we don't want her in music class. And this idiot, this a-hole assistant principal goes, well, that can't be one person's decision. That has to be a team decision. That was in October. It took until 2 weeks ago to get her out of music class. It was three individual educational program meetings, IEP meetings. I had to get in touch with the superintendent of the school, who I helped get elected, on and on and on. And the result is, now she goes to school, because we just had to eliminate that one class. It only took 6 months. But the other part of it is this. I don't feel safe. I know that sounds insane. I'm a big guy. I'm a broadcaster. I'm 6 feet tall. What do you mean you don't feel safe? I don't feel safe. Because they threatened to send child services to our home because she missed so much school. They threatened that. And I'm like, wait a minute. She's happy at home. She's miserable in school. Let's send child services to the school. Let's have the county inspect the school. And I swear to God, if I was single, that would have happened already. If it wasn't for my almost sane wife, who was like, well, it hasn't happened, but I would do it. I would call child services, county services, and send them to the school to find out why my kid is so miserable. That's where she's miserable. That's where she's unhappy. That's where she is neglected. Her needs are neglected in the school. I think I should send child services. What do you think? 888-688-WALT coming up in seconds. You and I will hear from the Gaffneys. And then later on, what you're really waiting for, Thea Landon's reading from her smutty book. In seconds, Dave Scott and I will talk about the mysterious radio signals from outer space. And I've captured them, and I'll play them for you in seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Welcome home, my Midnight Misfits. This is the special time for you and me. Oh, and coming up in seconds, we're going to hear Thea Landon read from her smutty book. We'll hear the Gaffneys tell about their amazing life with 18 children, and Dr. Dave with weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dispel the myth that all NYPD members get along. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Fentanyl, sawed-off AR-15, half-mile-long Walmart homeless encampment. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I'm attracted to you, Camille. It's okay. We're not animals. We don't always have to act on our attractions. I mean, what would we do as friends? Like Thelma and Louise. But without the guns.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
All right, if you missed any of the show tonight, you can hear it anytime you want at WalterSterlingShow.com. You click on Listen to Show. because I've had the best time tonight. I had Mark Simone on. We've talked about Mark Simone many times. Big time New York City broadcaster. He's been on the radio there for, 80 years. And Michael Harrison, our good friend, who is the publisher owner of Talkers.com, which is a free publication. If you want to learn about the inside secrets of talk radio, you go to Talkers.com. Dave Scott is our expert. What's the name of your show, Dave? Shoot me. What's the name of your show?
Spaced Out Radio.
Now, Dave does a national show in Canada. Now, Canada isn't a myth. It's an actual country. There's no country in the world harder to get into. You'd have a better time getting into, easier time getting into Slovenia than to get into Canada. Where are you staying? Who are you visiting? How long will you be here? Hi, we're America. We build your cars. Just say, thank you, Mr. American. Come into our country, spend your money, and watch your dollar be devalued. But the thing about Canada, which is absolutely true, Dave, they have better radio than they do in the United States. The stations in Canada consistently are better than the stations in the United States, and that's a fact. And your show is just fantastic, Dave Scott. Now, there's been important news this week in far-out space things, which is there is a very powerful radio video signal coming in from God knows where. And one of the things that's always intrigued me, and no doubt you, about space is that this signal going out into space goes forever. And it's possible half a billion years from now that there will be people listening to this show far, far away. It's an amazing phenomena. But also, the signals come back to us, and there's been interesting progress in picking up radio signals. And then at the end of this conversation, Dave, I actually captured one of these signals, and I'll share it with you and I'll play it on the air. But tell us about this event.
So apparently, this is in sciencealert.com, Earth received a message laser beamed from 10 million miles away in a NASA test. So it's about 40 times further than the moon is from the Earth. And the accomplishment was achieved back in November of last year. And it represented the first time that optical communications had been sent across a distance. You know, I mean, this is something that they want to use to talk to distant spacecraft to try and improve communication for when we actually start sending people to Mars.
Now, you said a key word, and I think it's worth spending a little time explaining about this. You said a video signal versus audio signals. Tell us about this video signal.
Well, I mean, if we want to have video of lesbians in space, you know, we need to be able to see the video because, you know, the two industries that maximize any type of attempt are the military and the porn industry. So, I mean, we need the video. But on a serious note, they want to be able to send high-definition video messages to and from Mars without any type of delay, much like you would on your home network with your high-speed 5G type of signal that most people have. NASA's Deep Space Optical Communications Experiment is being called an extent, and they're calling the comms link first light that they've been able to get it to and from without optical fibers.
And they're able to do this without delay, without latency? You're kidding.
Well, that's what they're saying right now. I mean, it is NASA, so it's, you know, you got to take everything they say with a little bit of grain of salt. But you know what? NASA's the first person or first company to really pat themselves on the back when they make a major milestone. And here's a quote from headquarters. It says, achieving first light is one of the many critical DSOC milestones in the coming months, paving the way towards higher data rate communication capable of sending scientific information, high definition imagery, and streaming video in support of humanity's next giant leap.
Dave Scott, I have managed to, from my contacts at NASA, to capture the bounce back of an audio signal that they received a few years ago, have never released it before, and I'm going to play it for you in seconds. How do I get in touch with you, Dave?
Spacedoutradio.com, Walt.
spacedoutradio.com. And in 4 minutes, we're going to hear Thea Landon, smutty book author, share with us a paragraph from her latest novel. But right now, I want you to hear this amazing thing that I got from NASA of a message they received a few years ago from space.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. I think I'll break off with my girlfriend. Her antics are queer, I'll admit. Each time I say, darling, I love you, she tells me that I'm full of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. Our baby fell out of the window. You think that her head would be split, but good luck was with her that morning. She fell in a barrel of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. An old lady died in a bathtub. She died from a terrible fit. In order to fulfill her wishes, she was buried in 6 feet of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. When I was in France with the army, one day I looked into my kit. I thought I would find me a sandwich, but the darn thing was loaded with shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. And now, folks, my story is ended. I think it is time I should quit. If any of you feel offended, stick your head in a barrel of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up in seconds, Thea Landon and her smutty new book, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by old guys.
The Babylon Bee, in tragic comedic fashion, captured the moment perfectly. Man ruled too senile to stand trial, still fine to run country.
Tristan inched closer and rested one hand at the small of my back. I know how strong you are. His breath fanned across my neck as he spoke. Give me 10 good squats and we'll call it a day. He let his hand drop and gave my butt a quick squeeze before stepping away. I didn't realize how much I craved more of his touch until he let go of me, but there was only one way to earn it. I went to the rack against the wall and returned with the heaviest weights I thought I could get up to my chest. Blowing out a puff of air, I hoisted them into position and steadied myself for the first squat. Slow and controlled, he said, and get nice and low with good form, or else I'm going to make you start from the beginning. My legs already ached from the run, followed by the lunges, but I kept my knees pressed out to the sides as I dipped down and back up. One, I counted to myself. I repeated the movement, fighting to keep the tremble out of my arms as I held the dumbbells up in front of me. Almost there. His raspy whisper sent a different kind of shiver through my tensed muscles. You got this. How the weights didn't slip out of my hands, I had no idea. I maintained my grip and sank down into my heels yet again. Every time I rose presented more of a struggle, but I was determined to complete the set. Once I finished the 10th squat, I exhaled a long sigh of relief and set the dumbbells down. Tristan was on me in a flash. He grabbed me by the waist and yanked me backward, sending me crashing into his bare chest. "I love watching you move," he growled in my ear. "Your powerful body, your flawless form. Do you know how long I've been dreaming of a moment like this?" He drew my earlobe into his mouth, giving it a sharp nip. His palms roamed over my stomach and hips, grazing the lower edge of my bra with every stroke. Dizzy with desire, I closed my eyes and leaned back, resting my head against his shoulder. Strong hands rose to cup my chest, kneading it through the damp fabric. As his fingers sank into my flesh, he kissed up and down the side of my neck, dragging his teeth over the sensitive skin. "Muscles, curves, perfect package," he murmured. I rolled my hips backward, rubbing along the length of him. His hold on me tightened, and he let out a strained groan. Placing my hands atop his, I maneuvered them toward the bottom of my bra. My sweaty skin and gasps for air made it challenging, but he wrenched it off over my head, then folded his thick arms around me again.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We have 8 kids, and we live in an old house built in the 1800s. Oi!
What's the oi for, babe? The old house or the 8 kids?
It's the inflation with the grocery budget really hitting us hard. You know, we've taken now, instead of going to the Walmart, we're now going to the below Walmart stores to save money. You know, the discount bargain bin store where everything's on pallets, in boxes you have to dig through.
But digging through is kind of fun. It's like, you know, back to hunter-gatherer, honey. We can go and look through the boxes and see what we can find.
There's one thing you can't find. Brand names.
Okay, you can't find brand names, but you can brush up on your foreign languages as you try and read the ingredients list in German.
Look, a full cart of groceries used to be, you know, a ballpark $300, you know. Now it's $600.
Upwards of $600.
And climbing.
It is. We used to do two carts, big carts, like huge carts. Things on the bottom, things all over, and now it's like, okay, we're basically almost filling a cart for the same price as what we would have 2 overflowing carts for just a few years ago.
So that's why we've started this adventure in discount grocery stores.
So there were a few discount grocery stores like that we would go to. Like if we needed some snacks, you could go find good, you know, organic snacks, fun things for the kids that met all of their specific needs once in a while, which was great. But now we've taken to using those stores as like more of our regular grocery trip stores, and it's hit or miss.
It's the big belt tightening.
Belt tightening like I've never felt before.
But at least we're making it. I realize that there's going to be another level even below this.
Which is basically the garden that I have in the backyard, where our homesteading will be basically all we're eating when I'm canning it all.
Our oldest son came from his house to offer us potatoes, but they had so many eyes on them.
I planted them. Yeah. It's March. I just planted
Unedible.
The potatoes. You know, because he comes over and he eats all of these potatoes all the time. And I'm like, hey, do you think you could go to the store and buy some potatoes?
Yeah, that's another problem. That's why I said, the amount of groceries we need is also going up because of the number of teenagers or close to teenagers that we have. They are eating machines. They're going through their eating machine phase and we can't keep up. We need more power.
More potatoes. Long story short, we're making it work. There's always going to be a way. I remember I had to write a report about someone who grew up in the Great Depression. And I remember writing this report about my grandma. I had to interview her and write this. And some of the things that they said that they went through and things they had to do to make it work, They tightened their belts. They right. made it work. We'll keep filling the grocery carts with things off of a pallet that we have to dig out of a box, and yeah. we'll make it work.
I would take that over the Great Depression any day. And we still have iPhones, so we're okay.
Right, exactly. As long as we have an iPhone, we can scroll through Instagram. Who cares if we're starving to death?
Follow me on Instagram, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me on Instagram, I'm at Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. Are we having fun tonight? Is this like the best radio show possible? I mean, it's not the Bitcoin show. It's not the annuities and you show, but it's the best we can do. It's the only show on this station or any station that somebody didn't pay to put. No, I don't pay to have this on the air. People, you won't believe this. Oh, gas. People pay me. I want to go to the French Riviera with you. Here's my email again. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Give me your real mailing address, and I will personally send you a brochure. Get the information. Why not? Go to the French Riviera with us through Colette Travel this October. All the Midnight Misfits to get together. We all get together, and we enjoy it with Charlie Green and Neil Paul and Judy Paul and Rosemary Furlong. We'll have the best time. That's this October, but you got to get the information now, and you got to sign up now. Time is running out. Time is running out. Coming up, we're going to have a report on Walmart, everything we want to know about Walmart. That's coming up in seconds from Velo Hool, plus Vic Ferrari and a real cop story, not some pretend piece of crap radio drama. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Ringo.
I love playing live. I mean, that's what it's all about for me. That's the gig. If you want to connect with an audience, you've got to love them. You've got to love what you do, and you got to love them because that's why you're there, because they've come out to see you. Bars, pubs, clubs, weddings, anywhere. There's a magic moment when the band and the audience are just on. And that's a lot of peace and love. So when I tour now, you know, I love the audience. They love me. And we have certain gigs where it's just heart-filling.
All right, it's 36 past the hour. Time for Dr. Dave's weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dispel the myth that all NYPD members get along. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Fentanyl, sawed-off AR-15, half-mile-long Walmart homeless encampment. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Good evening. I'm Thurston Busta Rothschild, and this is the usual edition from Public Community Radio.
This endless edition of the usual edition is made possible by a generous grant from the Illuminati. That is all we can disclose.
More and more true Americans want to join the Biden bandwagon by signing on to his family. This week, he adopted a new twin. Yes, a Biden twin. Our condenser mic's vintage 1998 captured a few words from Biden's new twin.
Well, you can't get any real practice without a partner. By Georgia conga line.
We welcome our new employees to Public Community Radio who are crossing our southern border right now. Yes, we can hear our new chief who just arrived in Del Rio, Texas.
Taco, taco, far. They smell like cheesy feet and taco, taco, far.
Oh. So international, live from our southern border. We are embracing the anxiety under your bed and the back of your closet late at night about global warming, spooky, ADHD. Here's the latest from Public Radio's excerpt on global warming. Ooh, spooky. Let's hear the sound of the earth heating up.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Hi, bonjour, hola.
This is authentic radio glory. Now it's your turn to open up and buy the official collection of Public Radio hair gel. One gel for each show. Please indicate the name of your favorite show, and we'll put the right shine on your fading hair. I'm Thurston Gangsta Rothschild. This is The Usual Edition.
With a GDP larger than many small countries, Walmart is the world's largest retailer and the world's largest business. One of the reasons, Bellingham, Washington, home of my friends Scott and Susie, Bellingham is famous for Walmart. And now, a wonderful homeless encampment, which is adjacent to the Walmart property. It goes on for a half mile. And one of the reasons they are such a wonderful place to go, and they always have great values, the homeless people, they're setting up nearby Walmarts. Rigoberto Vasquez Martinez. He was nabbed in a raid of that homeless encampment. Found a lot of fentanyl. They found $46,000 worth of cash money on him. This little tent. The police also found a key to a storage unit. In that storage unit, they found 200 pounds of fentanyl. Pills, powders, lotions, a sawed-off AR-15. Yet Mr., or shall I say, Señor Vasquez Martinez, in the country illegally from Mexico. Homeless encampments, by the way, frequently are loaded up with people who are wanted for crimes. They like being in there because people are scared to go in there. But the homeless can go out, and the felons can go out and commit all sorts of crimes. That homeless encampment goes on for a half mile outside of that wonderful Bellingham, Washington Walmart. And before the migrant crisis, Bellingham, Washington was one of the most beautiful cities in all of the West Coast. Not anymore. Not anymore. Señor Vasquez Martinez could spend 10 years in jail. And we'll find out whether he becomes a senator or gets deported after that. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
Dick Ferrari with his latest report on being a retired New York City police detective. It's as though we are actually in a police bar. I was thinking here about the three things that are annoying me. Number one, my 12-year-old daughter has childhood apraxia, which means she has a severe speech delay, she can't write, and she's in a public school, a government-funded school. And it is hell to deal with the bureaucracy of this school. Now, I've had kids in school for 18 years. I know all about individual educational programs. I know all about the things that they should be doing, the support they should be giving. And every year it gets worse. We used to get a note when the kid was out too much, saying the kid's been out too much. And then I'd call the school. I'd say, why are you sending this letter? Oh, we're sorry. We have to send a letter. Okay. Now, we didn't get a letter about her absences. Instead, we got a threat to send county services to our home to see why the absences. That's number one annoying me. Number two annoying me is there's this guy named Brian, who's some muckety-muck at Cumulus, with the worst name for a broadcasting company ever, who does not return my phone calls, does not return my emails. And my friend Mike said, let it go, don't worry about it. I'm like, no, I made a legit presentation to this Brian guy, called him several times, and then friend to friend, he says, well, I'm just very busy. Well, yeah, that's like when room service tells you that it's going to be 50 minutes because we're very busy. You're a hotel. You're supposed to be busy. That's the reason you're open, is to be busy. You should be thrilled that the hotel is full, and therefore you want to show off to your customers, and room service will be there in 12 minutes. Well, this Brian guy at Cumulus refuses to answer my emails and refuses to call me back, which is especially bizarre since the last thing I heard from him months ago was, "Let me know how I can help you." Well, Brian, yeah. So much I want to say. And then we are scheduled, believe it or not, to go five nights a week. And I made a deal. The person I made the deal with made the deal. And then we turned it over to others. We turned it over to others months later. Wah, wah, wah. I would do better at the Department of Motor Vehicles than to try to get this done. These are the things that frustrate me. Vic Ferrari coming up in seconds. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Let's talk about what is frustrating you. Why aren't you asleep? Or you're driving to the third shift, the late shift. On your mind right now is something making you nuts. I want to hear it. 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the Osborne family.
Do you know what it means when someone says based?
Bitch.
No, based.
Based.
B-A-S-E-D. Based.
Based.
Yeah.
That means cocaine.
Mum, what do you think it means?
I've got no idea.
Okay. It's person or opinion is one that is confident, free-thinking, and not influenced by the opinion of others. For example, I am based.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to dispel the notion that all cops get along. A couple of years ago, I went to see my cardiologist, and I went for my annual checkup, and he's going through my results, and he says, "Hey, do you know Joe Smith?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, he's retired NYPD, too." I said, "Okay." He goes, "I think you guys would get along. You'd hit it off." I says, "Oh, well, you know, whatever." So he sends me off for a stress test, and he writes down this cop's name and phone number on a piece of paper. He goes, "Give him a call. I think you guys would hit it off." I said, "All right, whatever." So I go home that night. And I'm a little curious. I have no intention of calling this guy, but I go on Facebook and I look him up. And what do I see staring back at me is some middle-aged guy with no shirt on sitting on top of a motorcycle. I have nothing against motorcycle enthusiasts or nudists, but the last time I didn't wear a shirt, it was at the beach. So I really didn't see the point of getting in touch with this guy. And that brings me back to another story. So one time I'm out with my accountant and his wife. And his wife says, "Oh, you should introduce him to your client, Bob Jones." And my buddy says, "Nah, I don't think that's a good idea." And she goes, "Why? He's retired NYPD too. Vic would get along with him." And he goes, nah, don't worry about it. And he pours his wife another glass of wine. So I knew not to say anything. I just kind of kept out of the conversation. A couple of weeks later, my accountant and I go out for lunch. We're cutting through this parking lot and he stops and he starts laughing. And I go, "What's so funny?" And he points to the back of this beat up old rusted Jeep. And on the back of the Jeep is about 15 pro-law enforcement bumper stickers. But there was a lot of them that were about 9/11. Now, listen, I've stated on this podcast, I worked that day. I think it's one of the darkest days of American history. I don't think we should forget what happened on 9/11. But I'm not going to wear a collage of bumper stickers on the back of my truck. I just thought it was a little excessive. And my buddy, whose dad is a Cuban exile and spent 15 years in a Cuban prison, said, "You know, that's the same as if my dad had a bumper sticker that said, 'I survived the Bay of Pigs invasions,' or 'F you Castro.'" So we had a good laugh about it. And I didn't feel the need to connect with this guy because I knew already we would be like oil and vinegar. I'm a pretty low-key guy, and I just don't feel the need for joining fraternal organizations. And the reason I don't is fraternal organizations, you're either in with a clique or you're not. And any type of dissent or someone that doesn't go along with the crowd is often finds himself at the back with no one talking to them. So I never really felt the need to join fraternal organizations. So like I said, not every NYPD member is every other NYPD member's cup of tea. So for more NYPD stories, check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 3 good minutes.
Michelle Alvarez. Her title is Strategic Threat Analysis Manager at IBM. There is a situation where there's a 71% spike in cyber attacks and billions of compromised credentials accessible on the dark web. How can I judge before I download a piece of software whether or not it's legit? Do you know how to do that?
You should go with your trusted sources, right? Hopefully we're not just getting an email with an advertisement that says, you know, click on me and I'll save all of your problems, right? What we saw, which is most concerning, is we saw the 71% increase year over year of attackers using credentials, right? Those are your username and passwords to get in. We saw a drop in phishing. So obviously we're getting better at phishing. We're getting better at detecting those phishes and not clicking on those links. And so attackers are saying, okay, how am I getting in now? I'm going to use credentials that I'm finding on the dark web and I'm going to log in. I don't need to hack in. I'm going to go for the path of least resistance.
How are people being extorted? What is the extortion threat?
And I led with ransomware because that's one of the ways, right? If you have ransomware in your environment, it's encrypting the data. The cyber criminals say, okay, if you want your data decrypted, you know, you have to pay this ransom.
Even if I pay the $10 million, they might not eliminate the threat.
Absolutely. And that's why we have many organizations that and nations are opting not to pay the ransom. That's an incentive sometimes for attackers. They pay the ransom, they might be a target again because, hey, they paid once, maybe they'll pay again. They're also extorting money. They steal the data. They steal your information and they're holding it hostage. And they say, hey, if you don't pay up, we're going to leak your information.
Most people in America work for businesses with fewer than 10 employees. What should they do to protect themselves?
What are we doing to protect our identity? Logging in is how they're getting in. Are you using the same password across all of your accounts? Do you even know how many online accounts you have? Have you taken an inventory? So know what you have. Do not reuse your passwords across your accounts. That once you do that, you're giving value to your logins. Enable MFA. MFA is multi-factor authentication. It's that extra step, you know, that second layer of verification. And we see time and time again, attackers coming up against an account that has MFA enabled and they don't even bother. That's 9 times out of 10. So that's a good, I think, percentage, right? 9 times out of 10 attackers are going to go another route if they see MFA.
This is incredibly important information, Michelle Alvarez, who works for IBM. She is the X-Force's Strategic Threat Intelligence Manager. Michelle Alvarez, how does a listener get in touch with you or IBM?
I'd like your listeners to go to IBM.com/X-Force.
It's radio. Please repeat that address.
IBM.com/X-Force.
Michelle Alvarez, it's an honor to meet you. Thank you for being such a good representative for IBM. Thanks so much.
Sterling on Sunday. You want to get in touch with me? Easy. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. And we have a spectacular website, waltersterlingshow.com. The greatest gift you and I receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.